The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Nice, you're the man.
That was fun. Yeah. Good luck with the bets.
Yeah, thanks.
We're thinking of you during all those events now.
Oh, I'll be sitting in my living room with my stopwatch on my phone out, timing that national anthem.
Where else would you rather be than right here?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that gives you your Super Bowl preview and also teaches you a little bit about sports gambling, so you can become a degenerate like us. I'm your host, Nate, and this is our last podcast before the Super Bowl, where we will discuss the Los Angeles Rams squaring off against the hated New England Patriots in Super Bowl 53, and a few cool Bills topics as always. I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, it's been a long season, but can you finally believe we're at the Super Bowl?
Go Bills!
Long season. The season flew by. And when you say we're at the Super Bowl, we are watching the Super Bowl on our TVs like everybody else, Nate.
That's okay, because we have a special guest on today. He's our local draft expert that came on last season when we talked in depth about Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds before they were drafted and gave us a lot of insight into some college prospects. And now he comes on to talk some overall and fun Super Bowl props bets with us. So we're joined by Zach Sheets. Zach, welcome back to the podcast, man. Thanks for coming on and educating us of the finer points of sports gambling.
No problem, Nate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first thing real quick, I recorded a podcast last week while I was on vacation in Florida. And that's not a humble brag, by the way. I just happened to go there at that time when it was crappy up here. But I just got to say real quick, and a lot of Bills fans have pointed this out traveling lately, is that Bills fans are everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, it's never more apparent, like, except when you're traveling somewhere. So, like, for example, like, we were flying back from Florida, and one of the flight captains let my three-year-old son into the cockpit after a flight based on, like, just the strength of his Bills hat. He was, like, coming up, and, you know, my son was like, hi, and he's just like, oh, nice Bills hat. You want to see the cockpit, son? You know?
Ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
So you got to go in, see some of the dials and stuff like that, and it was pretty cool. Anyways, question of the day, as we always do on the podcast, question of the day has to do with the Rams-Saints game last week and also a very memorable play in Bill sports history. So I posted this question on Twitter. What was a worse non-call in the NFL playoffs in general? Was it the Saints, New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Rams, NFC Championship, no pass interference call, where basically a Saints receiver went up with less than two minutes left in the game, and he got leveled by a Rams cornerback, ex-Bills, Nickell Robey-Coleman, and there was no pass interference call, which basically ended up extending the game and losing them the game? Or is it the Music City Miracle? So, I mean, just in general, obviously, I posted this on Twitter as a Bills podcast account, and I follow a lot of Bills fans. We have obviously a lot of Bills fans followers, And I just thought it was interesting because we have something to kind of compare it to as Bills fans. We have something that we've dealt with, and we have something very recent that was just seemed to be like a bad call. So it's a matter of what do we think is the worst one as NFL fans, as Bills fans. So, John, you want to take this one?
Sure. Putting my unbiased hat on, I would say the Saints call was worse. The Bills call was reviewed. The Saints call couldn't be reviewed and was much more blatant. I mean, not only was it pass interference, but it was a helmet to helmet. I mean, they fined them afterwards. So even at that, it should have been a penalty. And it was an NFC championship game as opposed to a wild card game. So I'd have to go with the Saints call.
That's totally wrong. Not even as a Bills fan, right? It's hard to prove a negative in the sense of that was an every play you can call a penalty. Now, that one was more egregious than most, certainly, but the nature of the game, it's so subjective. For there not to be a penalty there, the Saints still had the rest of the game and then overtime to win it. The Bills play ended the game and was definitively the wrong call. The Saints still had the advantage and all the time they needed to win that game. If they were the superior team, they could have come out and won. The Bills were just robbed. That injustice is, John, you're totally wrong.
So okay. one thing I can say real quick in my two cents is that even though I think the Saints-Rams game had more implications to the Super Bowl, obviously it was the NFC Championship, the Bills might have won that game, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they go to the Super Bowl like the Tennessee Titans did. So from a standpoint of how important this game was, I mean, it was a wild card game versus an NFC Championship game. And real quick, do we all agree that that was a forward pass? Zach, do you think that was a forward pass as well? I know you're actually not a Bills fan, you're a 49ers fan, so you kind of have a little bit of an unbiased like we do. Was that a forward pass to you?
I don't believe it was a forward pass.
All right, get the fuck out of here.
It doesn't matter where the guy who is throwing the ball throws it from. It matters where he releases it from. So he released it just on the front side of the 25-yard line, and that's where Dyson came back to catch it, just on the front side of the 25-yard line. If you look at those freeze frames, I think it was either barely forward, not forward at all, or barely backward. Mm-hmm. I can say that with certainty. It wasn't egregious one. Whereas the call in the Rams Saints game was probably one of the most egregious missed calls I've ever seen in my life. If the refs make that call, the Saints can run the clock out and kick the field goal with no time left. Also, in the Bills game, all they had to do was make a tackle. If they stay in their lanes and make the special teams tackle, the game's over, whether it's a forward pass or not. I think that the Saints player literally had no chance to make that play after the end. So I think that the most egregious one was by far the Rams-Saints game, not even taking into account the fact that one was the NFC Championship and the other one was a wild card game.
Right. I agree 100%.
All right.
And I know that's an unpopular opinion because I'm on a Bills podcast, but there we are.
Yeah. We all hate you, just so you know. So no, it's kind of good every once in a while to get a person that's not a strict Bills fan because, I don't know, I still see that. So we watched a YouTube video right before this mm-hmm. podcast, and we all looked at it. So it's funny how four people can see the same thing and then just take different things from it. But I guess I can see some. The thing about the Music City Miracle, not to rehash it for the 1,000,000th time, was that because it was called, it wasn't called illegal lateral, which I guess they would have had to blow the call dead at that point. But when they review it, you need sufficient, or what is it? What is the evidence that you need, like?
Clear and irrevertible evidence.
Yeah, exactly, to overturn it. And even looking back at that, there wasn't that, and there was never going to be that. So if it had been called right to begin with as a forward pass, or as what we believe is the right call.
Yeah, right, in quotes.
In quotes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that they had to let it go. They had to let the play continue because that's what the refs should do in that case. But I don't know. There wasn't indisputable evidence, and And there was never going to be, unless the guy was, you know, pitching it from the 25 back, you know, up to the 30, you know, like they were not going to overcall it. However, I always thought that the Saints Rams one was just that much worse just because, I mean, it was completely blatant. I don't think anyone watching that game was like, it was kind of iffy, you know, like I think we all try to be as objective as possible. And as Bills fans, we don't have a dog in a fight. So I don't know. I was kind of, I wanted the Saints to win, but I was like, how do you not call that? Like that was, there should have been two. There was someone right there too. There was like at least one referee right there. So oddly enough. So do you guys have anything else you want to add to that?
I think removing, we'll step back from this two specific, the plays that we're talking about. You brought up something that I think continues to be a problem in the NFL in the sense of the referees want to let the play continue when they're not sure. Right. But then the amount of evidence you need to overturn that call on the field, it seems like the evidence needed is not conducive to the plan. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It should be, you should just go to the video irrespective of the play on the field if it's going to be reviewed in something that we're just letting go to see how it plays out because we don't really know. It should then go completely to the film, like whichever preponderance we think. If it's 51, that's the way we go. Yeah. We're not just going to let it stand because we felt we had to let the play continue.
So even if they should still let the play go is what you're saying, but the evidence needed to overrule it shouldn't be completely like, you know, like innocent until proven guilty sort of thing where you just need to prove it. It was the exact.
The default shouldn't be, oh, we let it go on the field. That's the default. And it has to be clear evidence to overturn that. It should then go to 51%, whatever we think is the best call.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. It doesn't have to be like a complete. Yeah. The jury doesn't have to be, you know, not anonymous, unanimous. That's what I meant. So, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. So we got screwed by this stupid rule book or this rule in the rule book that we couldn't avoid essentially. But anyway, so what's funny about this is like, I think a lot of people, so 3 out of 4 of us kind of think the Saints Rams, no pass interference call was more, even as Bills fans, like we can, you know, 3 out of 4 of us are it actually, when I put this vote up to Twitter, 946 people voted. It was 61%. In favor of the Music City miracle being a forward pass, which I was kind of surprised at, even though I know that they're Bills fans. I just thought that that was just like, so the Saints Rams no pass interference call was just so obvious that people, I'm like, let's just see what happens. Like, I think it's going to be like 90-10, right? Like, no, it's completely in the other direction. So, but a lot of people,
there's a lot of wisdom in crowds is I guess what I would say.
That's just got to show you how big of Bills fans you have on this, yeah. On this account, yeah. I guess.
Did they even get the ball back in the second, in the overtime? They did, didn't they?
Yeah, Breeze threw a pick. His arm got hit.
Ah, yes.
And they went down and kicked the field goal on the Rams.
Yeah. So they did have a chance to do it. And that was, I'm not even going to try to do these Twitter handles. I'll just tag you in the podcast notes. But, someone wrote the forward pass was reviewable and was reviewed and they still got it wrong. Another guy wrote, Cody Miller wrote, trying to be bipartisan. So I will say the PI, it was absolutely clear. The Music City miracle is at least arguable. Tommy C writes, trigger for us Bills fans, but the Saints non-call was blatantly obvious. Not to mention one was a wild card game. The other was a conference championship. No comparison when you take out emotions. Which is interesting. So it's funny because a lot of comments are for the Saints, yet a lot of the voting was not for the Saints. Someone wrote, Bills and Met fan wrote, Music City robbery because it's personal. And you know what's funny is when people on Twitter like tag other Titans fans in a post, so then these guys start going at it in my timeline. So eventually we got some Titans fans coming up like, seriously, how many scientific reenactments and measurements you people have to see to make you understand, while it may have been a matter of inches, it was a backwards pass. Releases it 2 inches in front of the line and catches it on the line. PI was obvious and a Super Bowl call. Oh, the PI was obvious and a Super Bowl call for the Saints. That's what he meant. I don't know if there's been any scientific reenactments. Has there? Like, I've seen one done on, like, Madden. But
I think I saw one on ESPN, like, many, many, many years ago. And I think it showed that it was a backwards pass by however much. But
oh, really?
I don't know the details of that.
Well, let me tell you something. Ranting Ron on Twitter, like, just this must be his, like, really... It's got to be a sore spot for him as a Bills fan, because not only did he send images, still images of the pictures of Frank Wycheck throwing it back to what is it, Kevin Dyson? Was that who it was?
Kevin Dyson.
Yeah, yeah, Kevin Dyson. He shows still shots, but then he also sent an article from Adam Schefter of ESPN, where Adam Schefter basically writes that he was there that day as part of I think he was working for the Denver Post at the time, and he was there right at the 25-yard line on the sidelines watching that play happen. And he said it's one of the most like egregious like things that he's ever seen in the NFL. Whereas maybe the technology didn't exist or the cameras didn't exist in the right location and they didn't get the right angle. He's like, but where he was standing, right at the 25-yard line, he's like, it was clearly a forward pass. So I thought that was really cool. Thanks to Ranting Ron for sending that. But yeah, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy for us Bills fans. And I actually I tweeted something earlier about this week. Russ Z wrote, whoa, 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 not even close to it. Breeze still had a chance to come back and win. They also blew the lead. This is getting way out of hand. So I got some interesting points on both sides. I don't know. The Music City Miracle still hurts, but I don't know. For me, it's kind of tough to say that the Saints didn't get robbed a Super Bowl by that, you know, but whatever, we all have our opinions. So let's go on to the next segment of our podcast. One of the main reasons I brought Zach on, and it's to discuss the Super Bowl odds for this Sunday. So Zach, not only are you like a local NFL draft expert for our podcast, you play a ton of daily fantasy sports like FanDuel, DraftKings. You know a lot about sports gambling for a lot of different sports, not just the NFL, which you know a lot about the NFL, but also sports like baseball and golf. Is the Super Bowl this Sunday, is it your quote-unquote Super Bowl of gambling, or do you treat it like any other week in the NFL?
I try and treat it like every other week in the NFL, but when it comes down to it, somehow I always end up playing a little bit harder because of the Super Bowl and all the props that come with it.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of things. By the way, real quick, I know gambling is not legal in New York State, but if you'd like to see where we are getting our odds from in this podcast, please DM us on our Twitter account at CTWPod, or just message us on our Facebook account and I can give you the site where we're getting these odds from. Zach, so real quick, there's a lot of people listening. Some might know a ton about gambling. Some might know absolutely nothing about gambling. I'm kind of like more on that side. I know a little bit, enough to be dangerous and probably lose money if I had the opportunity. But so they're... On any given game, so we're going to talk the overall odds on the Super Bowl right now. On any given game, there are three ways that you can bet a game, correct? Like specifically a game. I mean, there's multiple iterations of how to bet one, but like there's three things. There's a spread, the money line, and the over-under, correct?
Correct.
So can you explain like real quick, so what's the difference between the spread, what's the difference between the money line, what's the difference between the over-under?
Okay, so the over-under on any given game is the total points in the game scored by either team combined. So say Patriots score 30 points and the Rams score 27 points. The over under there would be 57. It's just the combined total.
Mm-hmm.
A money line bet is just betting on a given team to win. It doesn't matter by 1 or by 20. If they win, you win. Now, the spread bets are different. Spread bets are you have to pick a team, and if you're picking the favorite, they have to win by a certain amount of points. So right now, as it stands, the Patriots right now are the favorites in the Super Bowl by 2.5. So that would mean if you pick the Patriots to win the game, they would need to win by 3 or more points. Now, if you pick the Rams you would pick plus 2.5. And that would mean that the Rams either outright win or the Patriots could win by 1 point or 2 points, and your Rams plus 2.5 bet would still win.
Gotcha. So like So the spread, the difference between like the money line and the spread is that money line, you're just picking a winner, but because you don't take a spread into account, like your winnings are less, right? So like, I mean, unless you pick like the underdog, right?
If you pick the underdog, the amount that you can win would be more in a spread bet. Mm-hmm. In a money line bet, it's usually the favorite is a heavier favorite, and therefore your payout would be less for the favorite than the underdog.
Okay. So right now, for example, I'm seeing the New England Patriots as a -150 in the money line. So if you're betting how does that work? So if you're betting $100, you win 50, or how does that work?
So it's basically like if you bet $100, or you would have to bet $150 on the Patriots to win 100.
Okay.
So if you bet $150 and they win, you would get $250 back. Your original $150 bet plus the $100 that you win.
Okay, gotcha. So the Rams being +125 in the money line, you bet $100 and you win $125.
Correct.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. And this spread basically, so it's -2.5. If you take the Patriots at -2.5 and they win, you know, by 3 or more, then you win roughly exactly what you put into it. So if you bet $100, you win $100, right? Roughly. Or no, it's a little bit different.
I think they're, what, -110, I think.
Yeah.
-105.
Yeah, I see -120, but maybe
it's... Oh, yeah. So if you bet $100 on that, then you win $120. Or no, if you bet $120, I'm sorry. If you bet $120 there, you win $100.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. So that still takes into account the minus and the plus, even between money line and spread. Gotcha. Yeah. Are there times that you just go money line over spread or over under, or how do you normally attack these things, or does it depend on the game?
It definitely depends on the game. What I normally do is a little bit more in depth. I do something called a teaser, and a teaser allows you to adjust the money or the spread and the over numbers based on how many points you're buying, basically. So what I try and do is say what I have actually, well, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but what I've actually done already was the opening line for this game when it first came out last weekend was the Patriots were 1-point underdogs. So they were +1 and the over under was 57. So what I did was I teased those lines. So the Patriots opened at +1. I teased it to Patriots +7, took the over-under number of 57 and teased it down to over 51. Okay. Is that clear? Do you want me to explain it a little more?
No. So what I'm getting from you is that like a teaser, you have to bet both the over-under and the spread. You can't just do one or the other, correct?
Correct.
So you, in order to do a teaser, a 6-point teaser is what you're doing. You're not only teasing the spread one way or another and picking a side, and then you're teasing the over-under one way and then picking a side, right?
Yes.
So obviously, like, thinking, your thought is at that time, the over-under was 57. You think it's going to be high to begin with. So tease it down to 51, 6 points, and bet the over because...
And bet the over, basically, is what you're doing. Yeah.
Gotcha. You're hedging your bets both ways. So then this one bet becomes, like, equal to either doing a spread or an over-under. This 6-point teaser.
It's really close. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly equal, but it's pretty close.
But you have to win both too, obviously.
Yes.
So, okay. Gotcha. So you bet the spread. So you had the Patriots, you thought the Patriots were going to win. They were a -1. So you bet them to like +5 or whatever, right? So
they were +1.
Oh, they were +1. Oh,
what? I bet them to +7.
They were +1 at one point. Wow. They were 1-point dogs.
They were 1-point dogs, and by the time that line got put out to the public, within 2 hours, the Patriots weren't dogs anymore.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
People hammered that line when it first came out.
Yeah, gotcha. How often do you ever see the lines move like that?
Normally, Vegas gets it really, really close to being right, and you don't see, like, 3 or more point swings like that. It's usually a point here, a point there, half a point. It's usually like a huge swing like that.
Okay, gotcha. So needless to say that you definitely think the Patriots are winning this game, correct?
Yes.
Okay, That's pretty. Mike, John, I know I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Do you guys agree with that, or are you guys kind of open to thinking maybe the Rams can somehow pull this off?
I agree with it, but I'm hoping the Rams pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have to agree, right? It pains you to say it as a Bills fan, but you're probably looking at the best coach and the best quarterback, certainly in tandem together in NFL history, so it's hard to bet against the Pats.
Well, it's easy when you cheat.
So at least John, Mike, and all the Bills fans and I are hoping that the Rams somehow pull it off. But, I mean, geez, I don't know how you, like Mike said, how do you go against the best coach and the best quarterback by far? I mean, I don't know if Sean McVay even been to a Super Bowl? I don't think he has he? Like, even as an assistant. I think he played, he was with the Redskins. And, yeah, this is not conducive. The Super Bowl, all of these games really tend to favor, I feel, the coaching staff and teams that just have the most experience. And the Patriots were literally just here last year. So, like, I think I saw 36 of the 53 players on the roster were here from last season. So, I don't know how you go against them.
Four.
What's that?
The Rams have four players that have played in a Super Bowl before.
In general, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So even if the odds right now are -2.5, you still take, I mean, the Patriots being -2.5, you still take the Patriots on that one if you had to go straight up spread.
Yes.
And over-under being now it's 58, do you still think that's an over? Or do you think that is a possibility it's kind of close? Because I think 58 is actually the exact score that the Patriots and Rams had in the Super Bowl they played back like 10 years ago, I think. So, I mean, I could see that easily going over.
I think this game's going to be a shootout, but 58's a lot of points.
Is that the highest, you know, of any
Super Bowl? I'd probably pick the over still because I don't like to bet unders. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I get, you know, I'm trying to think of, in general, for the game. I mean, the only way to beat Tom Brady, in my opinion, and I don't know if you guys have any different thoughts on this, the only way to beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl is, number one, pass rush, especially pass rush up the middle. And then number two is to, like, because that's how the Giants basically beat him twice, was pass rush, having an amazing defensive line. And the only other way to beat him that has been done in the Super Bowl was last year when the Philadelphia Eagles outscored him. They just simply outscored him. Their offense was just that amazing. So as far as any stats that go into that, the Rams were ranked 15th in sacks this season, which does not bode well for number one, I just stated about being pass rush. And then the other thing is the Rams did score the second most points in the league this season. So it is possible that maybe they can outscore him if they can't get a good pass rush. But I guess I don't really feel confident. Zach, I know you watch a ton more NFL football than we do. Do you think there's a possibility with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald that they can get pressure up the middle against the Pats by any chance? Or do you think that it's just a 15th ranked, you know, pass rushing defense going against, you know, the New England Patriots?
No, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh are going to play huge roles in this game. If they can't get to Brady, the game's over.
Okay.
They're definitely going to double Aaron Donald. And that teams have been doing that the entire postseason, and it hasn't mattered. But Ndamukong Suh just started showing up. So he needs to play really, really well this weekend for them to have a shot.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So we talked about the Super Bowl in general. We talked about Super Bowl odds and betting that way. What do you think? One of the fun, cool things about Super Bowl betting, in my opinion, are the Super Bowl prop bets. Now, it wasn't until I found this site that if people want to find out about, they can DM me again. But it wasn't until I looked at this set that I realized how many thousands and thousands of Super Bowl prop bets there are from anything. Like, I know you and I have talked before about like the coin toss, which way that's going to go versus the national anthem length and stuff like that. I mean, what are some prop bets that you normally take a look at and are fun to bet on?
Okay, so I have like two areas here. I have props that I normally look at and try and bet that are somewhat scientific. And then I have other props in this game, like the coin toss and the length of the national anthem and what color Gatorade the winning team douses the coach in. You could literally bet on all this. Wow. And I normally do in the Super Bowl just because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have a couple props that I really like on both sides, actually.
Okay.
Right now, the number that I have is I really like the Gronk over 3.5 receptions for the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a -165 favorite. I have Greg Zuerlein over 8.5 total points in the game. So extra points and field goals. Field goals are obviously 3.
Okay.
And then I like Todd Gurley to score a first half touchdown. And that's a +185 dog.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw that tonight and I was like, I need to jump on that for sure.
The Patriots have a good rush defense good running defense or anything? They don't, do they?
They're not terrible.
Not terrible.
I just can't imagine. I mean, Gurley against the Saints had 5 touches. Okay. Total. I can't imagine that Sean McVay is not going to want to get him going a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As opposed to sticking with C.J. Anderson, who, no offense to him, but he's not Todd Gurley.
Yeah. There's very few running backs in the NFL like Todd Gurley. So that's not an insult. That's not an insult.
No. And then I got a couple. I have a couple MVP bets that I like. I mean, Brady for MVP, if the Patriots win, he's -110. He's the overall favorite, but -110 is not a bad price there. And then Gurley is almost 12-1 for MVP.
Oh, wow.
So I might sprinkle a little bit of cash on that one, too, just in case.
So, like, in general, so if you bet $110, you win $100 for Brady winning MVP, right? That's not bad at all. So would you basically, like, give me an example. So you want to hedge your bets. You want to bet on both of those. What's the way to do it? Do you put, like, $10 on one and $10 on the other and just see? Or would you put like $100 on Brady winning the MVP and like $10 on Gurley just for shits and
giggles? Yeah, that's probably how I would do it. I mean, I wouldn't sprinkle. I like to bet long shots, but I'm not gonna put heavy money on long shots to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And 12-1 is a pretty big long shot. I mean, I think as you've seen with most Super Bowls, the MVP is normally the quarterback unless something crazy happens, which is why Gurley has such long odds.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you told us some of the scientific ones. I mean, do you have any more that you like that are scientific out of that group? Those are your favorites.
Yeah, those are definitely my favorites right now. I mean, I haven't, like you said earlier, there's literally thousands of props to bet.
Yeah.
And I haven't taken too deep of a dive yet because, I mean, we're recording this. It's Monday night, so I have some time still.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have a couple other ones that are interesting, to say the least.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so the Patriots are the away team, so they're going to be calling the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
Always calls heads. He calls heads because his dad always used to call heads when he played in the NFL and was calling the coin toss. He's been on a heater calling heads. So right. I think I'm rolling with Matthew Slater, and I'm going to bet heads.
Wait, what? Have you not ever heard Tails Never Fails?
Buddy, I'm a huge proponent of Tails Never Fails, but you never go against somebody when they're on a heater. You just don't do it.
Okay. Well, maybe that means he's due. See, I don't gamble enough. Does it mean that he's due to finally miss one?
Well, according to the law of the probability, it's 50% every time.
Every time.
Whatever, John. We don't need your...
So it's like if you're playing roulette and you would be like, oh, blacks came up 6 times in a row. It's got to be red on the next one, right?
Yeah, wasn't it you that told me specifically never to go based on what that board says?
Yep.
Yep. So this
that was me.
This is exactly you in the casino. You're seeing Matthew Slater, and then you're seeing all black on the one side right next to his name. And you're like, well, obviously the next ball has got to be black. There's no way it can be red or double zero. So cool. All right.
If I was betting that every time and it was going black, black, black every time, I would obviously continue to bet black until it's red. Yeah. But that's just because I'd be on a heater.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, you know enough about gambling, casino gambling, and sports gambling. I'm going to trust your judgment on this one. Okay, so that was a fun one. So you say heads for the coin toss. And then, okay, so what's another fun one?
Okay, Gladys Knight is singing the national anthem.
From Gladys Knight and the Pimps?
Yeah, she is a little bit on the older side. I've done a bit of research, watched some YouTube clips of her singing God Bless America and other events. She kind of likes to draw it out a little bit. Okay. I was surprised.
Okay.
The over-under is 108.5 seconds.
Wow.
So 1 minute and 28 and a half seconds. I'm leaning to the over on that one. Well, I think she's going to go over a little bit. She's going to take the moment in that she's singing that national anthem at the Super Bowl, and she's going to enjoy it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to rush that, right? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I'm leaning over on the length of the national anthem right now.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Wait, real quick, when you normally... Yep. I think you normally bet that every year, don't you, the national anthem?
Yes.
Does it normally go longer, or does it depend on the artist?
I think it depends on the artist, but in most years, most artists go over.
Okay.
I don't know why that is. I don't know if they're just savoring the moment, but I'll take that money all day.
Okay. Cool. What's another? I like that one. What's another one?
And then the one more that I had, which I found really, really interesting, is that the Gatorade bath that the coaches take, the favorite is no Gatorade bath, which, I mean, I guess I could see that if it's Belichick.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's gotten Gatorade bath before, uh-huh. And there's no way Sean McVay won't if they win.
Oh, yeah.
So no Gatorade bath was the favorite, and then clear was the next favorite. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Yellow green is 3.5 to 1. You can get 3.5 to 1 on your money for yellow green. I think that's a bet I'm going to make.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Clear.
Clear? Does Gatorade even make clear?
No, I think they just mean water.
Is there a way to like bet every other color but nothing? Like, could you bet the field against nothing? You know what I mean? Or would you just have to bet every single color also?
Yeah, you'd probably have to bet every single color.
Okay, darn it. Okay.
But no, those are just a few that I've looked at that I've kind of liked. Definitely the more scientific ones I really like. The other ones are kind of just shots in the dark that I'll throw a little bit on, but I'm not gonna hammer that by any means.
Mm-hmm. So you say that you always end up betting a lot more than you normally do, or like quote unquote, like if you were to gamble, that's what you do. So what do you think like about money wise? So like we're talking like for your bets, like if you did $100 on the actual game itself or whatever, the teaser, the 6-point tease like you talked about, would you be betting like $100 overall on those rest of those prop bets? Or would you do like $50 each one or $10 each one? Like just an example, like how do you spread that out?
I normally, the game and prop bets, the game bet that I have, that'll take a majority of my money, mm-hmm. for sure. The scientific props will probably be 30%, 25% of the total that I bet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fun ones will be 10% or less.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I always get to the point where I always bet more than I think I'm going to is because I'll bet the original line when it first comes out, like I did this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go down the prop rabbit hole. And once you get to the end of that, you look up and you'll be like, probably shouldn't have bet that much money, but then you're riding with it.
Yeah.
Play money, I'm talking about, not real money.
Yeah, play
obviously.
Money. Yeah. Yeah, Monopoly money.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice, nice. It's good to get in the mind of somebody that actually knows what they're doing and actually has a method to their madness. And obviously, you know, you've been doing it for a little while, at least as a hobbyist watching this stuff for a little while, that you know exactly what you're doing. So that's kind of cool. Nice, man. Giving me some ideas, some of the listeners, some things to think about. Guys, so Mike, John, I mean, is there, if you were to take a look at any of those bets, is there one that you like better than the other prop bet wise? I'm kind of thinking, I like the national anthem one. If we're going unscientific, I like the national anthem. I feel like Gladys Knight is definitely older, like you said, and she's got to make this count, man. Like she's never, I don't know if she's ever got this much recognition. If it wasn't for, you know, us talking about it, I don't know if I would have remembered her. I don't know if I can remember any Gladys Knight and the Pimps songs off the top of my head. But yeah, man, you got it.
Maybe she'll be nervous and she rushes it.
No, listen. If she's in her 60s, she's been doing this for like 40 years, okay? It's not like she's like this junior high school singer. Yeah, it is a Super Bowl. It might make her a little bit nervous, but no.
I think I watched her at the U.S. Open. I think she sang at the U.S. Open was the clip that I saw.
Did she do the whole anthem? Or was that God Bless America?
She did God Bless America. I know. That would have made it a little easier if it was the anthem. Could have actually sat there and timed it.
Well, the thing I don't get about like the one minute and 28 seconds that you were talking about is, do you say it's going to be long, but are they basing that off of like an average national anthem, or do they pick that number thinking that she'll go long? And that's why they move it to 128, because if that's the case and they're already, and Vegas is already adjusting for her drawing it out, well then, you know, then I might consider the under depending on that, you know?
Like, I mean, it's got to be the latter, right? Like Vegas wants equal action on either side.
Yes.
It's not a function of like there's some absolute number. Just like we talked about the line moving on the Pats. They're getting so much action with Pats as a favorite. Oh, we got to swing the line back to the Rams to be the favorite so we get equal money on both sides. So I think with the national anthem, they've got to take everything into account and try and, I would imagine, that could move just like the line.
So
yes.
So how does that work? Real quick, Zach or Mike, whoever can explain that. How does that work as far as what Vegas wants equal money on both sides? Is it because if it's like 90-10 one way and they lose to the 90%, then they owe a ton of money? Is that why? Or what? Yeah,
they're trying to minimize their risk.
Okay. Because like, let's say it's 50-50. They still make a cut no matter what. Whether so, like we were talking about it being one-to-one bets, there's no true one-to-one bet. Like you bet $10, you're not gonna win $10 back for the most part. You're gonna win like $9 back or $8, whatever, yeah. Right? So that's their cut, no matter what, even though the risk is yours. Okay.
That's why there's a lot of people that when a favorite is -110, they'll bet $110 to win 100. Like they're trying to pay off or minimize the amount that they're just giving away in that quote unquote rake that they're paying to actually make the bet.
Gotcha. Will you be doing any bet hedging? Any serious bet hedging this weekend that we didn't discuss earlier?
Probably not. I'm probably riding. This is the last football game of the year for me. No balls, no blue chips. Let's do this.
All right. Cool. Cool, man. All right. Cool. Well, Zach, thanks for coming on. About gambling, it's not really legal in New York State. But if you'd like to see where we're getting our odds from, what Zach has discussed today, please DM us on our Twitter account at CTWPod or on our Facebook account, and we'll gladly share the site with you. Zach, where can they find you on Twitter for, like, because you do a lot of takes about general sports and gambling. Where can they find you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is at CALAX12, and that's basically where I'm on. I'm on that all day, every day. So hit me up whenever you guys want.
Whether you're watching college basketball at like 2 a.m. or Major League Baseball or whatever, yep. You know, it's just, yeah, you're my go-to guy for like all things non-Bills, just in general. Cool, man. So, all right, guys, it's been fun talking to you guys in general. Good to get together again. We'll do another podcast after the Super Bowl to discuss it and give our thoughts on it. Hopefully at that point we're discussing what I always like, if you were to gamble, what I always like about betting on the Patriots is that if they lose, as a Bills fan, you win. But if they win, then you're just making a smart bet and you're also winning. So like that's the worst, is like if you were to bet against them and they end up winning, then you lose twice as Bills fans. But this way, you hedge your bets. That's how I hedge my bets, if I were to bet, is that bet on the Patriots. they lose, then I still win. I don't feel like I'm losing so much. So, hey.
I know a lot of Jets fans that have that same exact mentality.
Yeah.
they've put on some fairly decent bets on the Pats to kind of hedge a little bit.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, seems a lot of people make their money back that way that they might have may or may not have lost during the season this season. cool, man. Well, thanks again for talking to us. So, Zach, I know you're not a Bills fan. You're a 49ers fan, so I'll just let you say signing off. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Nate. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So for John.
Go Rams.
For Mike.
Go Bills. Next year's coming up quick.
Yeah. And for me, Nate, go Rams. Go Bills 2019. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.